Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Mike McFeely Outdoors and the mighty 790 KFGO on this. Actually, it's November now, isn't it? The calendar has turned over, Doug Lear of the North Dakota Game and Fish Department.
And if you don't set your clock back tonight, you're really gonna be in a whole hurting situation. Well, I guess that falling back is probably not as big a deal as if you don't set your clock ahead in the spring. That's when you could really get loused.
Correct.
Up.
What happened to October, by the way?
It went behind us.
Goodness gracious!
Was it bad?
1,000 miles an hour or something?
I don't know. I thought it was typical. In fact, for a lot of people that hunt, October wasn't too bad because it's so relative. Obviously, in western South Dakota and southwestern North Dakota, they had some significant weather impacts. But it's all relative. If you live in the Fargo-Moorhead area, you really haven't seen much for accumulating snow, if really anything.
No, I don't think any.
Yeah. So in terms of weather, I think October was really good for people at hunt and fish. We're so used to having like an Alberta clipper come right through here and freeze up the sloughs and push all the birds out, and deer season starts and you're, you know, basically on the end run of any decent waterfall hunting. That's not the case this year. Some of the best waterfall hunting going on right now in much of North Dakota.
That's, by the way, the Calcutta clipper, as Denny Green named it. The Calcutta clipper comes down, it goes back up. The Calcutta clipper.
What would Jerry Burns have called it?
The
blankety blank Calcutta.
By the way, there is no Bison football game today. I know that on this program I like to sort of preview the Bison game and let people know what's coming up later today on KFGO. Bye week this week for NDSU. So if you're not already out in the field, get out there now. If the weather's decent, it's not too bad. It's late October, early November weather. It's fine. Get out and do something. And you won't be distracted by NDSU beating up on somebody 56-0.
And if you do sit around and wait for the perfect weather, it's like waiting for for people that golf or whatever else, it's like waiting for it just doesn't happen. There's no such thing.
It was like my wife waiting for the perfect guy. Never happened, so she just chose me.
She said, really?
Okay, whatever. That guy over there, fine. Let's go. You sent me a message earlier this week, Doug, and you said something that I don't know quite where you're going with it, so I'm intrigued about talking about this. You sent me a message that said, Mike, I think that social media are ruining people's outdoor experiences.
And I didn't send you the message via Facebook. I sent it the old-fashioned way, 2002 way.
Well, yeah, email. I guess that's accepted norm now, right? I mean,
I didn't write out a letter to you. I am one of those people that is not, you could pick me disenchanted with social media when it comes to the outdoors. Mm. I maybe parallel it, maybe mistakenly, to the way social media can draw away from any experience, whether it's going to a Bison football game and you're more concentrating on sending the Twitter message than you are about watching the game. Go to the game, watch the game, listen to the game on the radio. But the outdoors is kind of falling into that same trap, and I'm not lambasting anybody's website or anything like that, but it really started with maybe some of the message boards, and it's graduated now to where, again, that parallel to some of the other things in social media is maybe it creates that level of envy of, gosh, I thought my buck was decent. Now look what this guy shot. I thought my day of fishing was really good, and look what this guy caught. And it gradually over the course of time can erode from really just the outdoors being what you enjoy. And that's, I think that's the trap that people fall into. If you like to go and catch one trout or like to just go out there and maybe not catch any catfish, that's fine. There are other people that want to go and they want to bring home 5 walleyes and 3 northern pike and have just a great day fishing. And I think over the course of time that it can take away from people having their own personal level of enjoyment. I don't know where you fall on that.
I think that I get your point, and I don't disagree with it. The one thing I'd say, though, is that there's always been that element to the outdoors. Because if you go to the small town bar on the opening of pheasant season in the evening, you have the group of guys sitting around with their caps tilted backward. Hey, we shot 27 roosters today. And it's just a different way to brag about what you did. Now, I'm with you that to me, I'm a competitive person, and I like to if I'm going to go fishing, I'd like to catch fish. And I'm going to do what I can do to catch fish legally and everything else. That doesn't mean that if I don't catch something that I've had a bad day, but my purpose is to go and try. I enjoy the chase. I enjoy, okay, can I figure out where they are? What are they biting on? How deep are they? That's all part of it, you know. But if I don't catch something, like I said, I'm not going to say, well, that day, so that was a waste of time.
Yeah.
Well, that sucked. And I also fall into the trap of, I do post pictures of fish on Facebook. I post, part of it is promotion for my radio show.
Right.
Part of it's promotion.
You've got to.
For this. Part of it's promotion for some of the sponsors I have. But people should know that when I hold up a walleye from Devil's Lake, that might be the only walleye I caught all day.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that I've caught 500 walleyes. That doesn't mean that it's been one after the other. It just means, you know what? I'm fishing on Devil's Lake. I have sponsors who sponsor my boat or sponsor my radio program,
yep,
who've sponsored my trip to Devil's Lake. Here's a fish I caught on Devil's Lake. You too can catch a fish, yeah, on Devil's Lake.
And you're right. I'll definitely agree with that, especially that first part when you said about how everybody throughout the heritage of hunting has been that guy at the cafe or at the watering hole that came in with the nice 3x3 buck, and a half hour later the next guy comes in with a 5x5 and you're going, well, I guess my 3x3 wasn't that great. So you're right. In a sense, it has been going on for ages and ages. That's why there's old issues of North Dakota Outdoors with guys with a whole wall full of rooster pheasants from 1947 with, you know, mm-hmm, 150 rooster pheasants. They took a picture for a reason. They didn't just take a picture. So I understand and I agree with that. And I also would agree that you can use that to give people a reason to go hunting and a reason to go fishing. You can take it from, gosh, you know, if Mike McFeely is catching fish, then by golly, I should be going fishing because it must be pretty easy.
No, and that's exactly right.
Right.
What I hope doesn't happen in this world of social media, and I'm into Instagram, I'm into Twitter, I'm into Facebook, and I probably do too much of it.
Pinterest?
I signed up for it.
Did you really?
But didn't get into it because I really didn't really understand it. My wife and kids. Seems like more kind of a woman thing, but that's a whole different topic. But I hope what doesn't happen is with all the kids today being into social media, I hope that the 10 and 11-year-olds and 15-year-olds don't look at social media and say, man, when I go fishing with my dad, I never have that kind of luck. My dad must stink, or we, yeah, must not be very good at it, or we must be doing something wrong, so I'm not going to go anymore because that, you know, Mike McFeely's always catching a walleye. I'm never catching a walleye. Man, that stinks. Well, that shouldn't be the case, and I think that's the danger. And again, the same thing was when I used to watch Virgil Ward or Al Lindner on TV or Babe Winkleman.
Bill Dance.
They'd always catch fish.
Yeah.
But what people need to realize is, and I know Jason Mitchell a little bit, and I've went fishing with Tony Dean. I've been fishing with Jason Mitchell. You know, those guys are good at what they do, but they're also at places where the fish are on the bite or there's a lot of pheasants. They need to catch, yeah, and shoot things to make a TV show. There again, Jason Mitchell is very good at what he does, but he can't put a show on TV if he doesn't catch anything.
Yeah.
Because it's all about catching fish and holding up the walleye.
And you mentioned as well, even with yourself, when there's a picture of Mike McFeely at the cleaning station, you didn't just go out and catch them all by 7:30 in the morning. It might have been 12 hours of hard fishing,
yes,
to catch that limit of,
yes,
fish. And there might be hours where you're not landing fish. So that's the reality
of
it.
Which, by the way, is fun also. If I'm sitting in a fish house for 8 hours, I couldn't be happier. No offense to you, Doug. I'd rather be sitting in a fish house for 8 hours than be sitting in the studio with you for 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean,
and the feeling's mutual.
And I hope you would feel the same way.
And the feeling is totally mutual. I'd rather be having this conversation while we were sitting in the fish house. That would be the way to be doing radio.
We can make that happen, as a matter of fact. We need to take a break. That's like 10 minutes of radio gone. Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish, and the friend in Tom Wynn and Friends in the morning on KFGO. This is Mike McFeely Outdoors on the Mighty 790 KFGO.
Rain is a good thing. Rain makes corn. Corn makes...